Welcome everyone to today's podcast. In line with the series that I've been running with all of my, well, not all of my, but some of my amazing success stories, I've got another couple of guests for you today. Now, these guys were finalists in the I Love Real Estate Super Conference competition that I ran, where we gave away computers iPads and iPods and holidays and all sorts of things. And these guys have a very interesting story. I feel it's a story that I think will inspire a lot of young people, because these guys are only babies themselves. And I want to show you just how far they've come in such a short space of time. So let's introduce them. Their names are Shakira and Paul. Guys, are you there?
We sure are.
Hey, Jinta.
Hey, glad to have you on the line.
Good to be here.
Now, how old are you guys?
I'm 27.
Yeah.
And I'm 34.
Okay, so really only babies between you. So
yeah.
So what made you come along to an I Love Real Estate introductory event?
A colleague of mine at work was a student of yours, Dibna, and he encouraged myself to come along, and I said to Shakira, we're dropping everything, we're going to come along to a one-day event, and that was in October 2014.
Okay.
And for us, it was just, I guess we were inspired by your story. You weren't there to try and sell us something, you know, you were there telling us basically, you know, sharing your knowledge and your own story in terms of how far you've come.
Mm. Well, I'm glad I could inspire somebody.
Well, you did a really good job, because we haven't looked back since then.
Well, you're the next generation, you realise. You're out there to inspire the next lot of people who want to get out there and change their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do that.
Yep. So, okay, you're sitting at a one-day event. Obviously, you know, it's a huge one-day, and I go through a lot of different stuff there. What were you thinking?
At that point in time, it was more so, oh, my goodness, we have no idea what Tim is going on about. We're like, my goodness, we have an absolute massive amount of education to at least instill in us. So, and then that was the reason why we just decided that day we're joining your quantum program. So, for us, that was that turning point, really.
So you already had a house at that point?
Yes, that's correct. We just bought our PPR, but didn't know anything about, you know, dial before you dig, or can you actually fit a property on the back of that house and all that sort of thing. So no education, no knowledge, just delve into the property and, kind of hope for the best.
That's what most people do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what most people do. And sometimes you can luck it in and sometimes you luck out.
We definitely had some luck with this one, that's for sure.
That's right. So you went through all the course material. That obviously takes up a lot of time because, you know, you go to boot camp. Boot camp is called boot camp for a reason. You know, there's a lot of learning to be done there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for us, we sort of didn't really do much in terms of any development stuff on our property, purely because we wanted to get that education and that knowledge behind us to eliminate making bad decisions. So, for us, we really held off from looking at any potential development on our PPR site anyway. So we kind of really didn't do much for that first year. However, obviously just kept building our knowledge, which was, I think, quite crucial in eliminating those bad decisions.
I think you're pretty wise in that you didn't just rush out there and, you know, get excited and go and do things without really understanding and really learning, you know, what needed to be done. You got into that property with a 95% loan, so you just squeezed into it, really, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Sure. We were trying to find where we could squeeze that 5% of funds. So we were really, really low on cash. And had absolutely no equity. We had a few bad debts and all that sort of thing. I guess we sort of, realistically speaking, probably weren't even ready to purchase our first property. However, we were just so desperate to enter the market. Not only that, Paul's mum wanted us out of the house. So
fair enough.
We kind of had no choice.
Yeah. Go and buy a property. So that was an older property you bought, yeah?
That's correct. It was your typical property that you recommend, the ugliest house on a reasonably nice street.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, at least you didn't get trapped into the marketeer's, you know, four bedroom, two bathroom, double lock up garage with no money left in it at all. You know, inflated by $40,000 to $80,000 sold through the marketeers. You know, you bought in an established suburb with something that you can actually, you know, gain some ground on in the early part of its ownership, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it needed a fair bit of work. I remember when we did our final inspection, Shakira was in tears.
I knew he was going to tell this story, didn't I?
Well, the previous owners had removed, obviously, you know, all their furniture, including picture frames from the walls. And you could actually see that they were smokers in the house.
Oh.
And pretty much behind the picture frames, it was all nice and white colour, and then all the rest of the walls were just yellow.
It's dark.
Yep.
Well, that's a great opportunity.
Back then, I didn't see it as an opportunity. I was like, I think we've purchased the wrong house.
Now, so you spent a year learning, really, with the I Love Real Estate. What happened after that?
So our 3-day boot camp was February 2015, and then we really spent 2015 attending all the Quantum Shift events, and we really just knuckled into it, spent good weekends, did our own, obviously, reading of all the materials, and pretty much...
Towards the end of that year was when we started to... putting together the application forward for our plans to develop on the back of that site. So, we definitely held off. However, it definitely paid off because of the education that we've gone through.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, it's easy enough to say, oh, you subdivide the block, but there's a lot of learning in doing that. You know, it's not just a one-word answer. And there's lots of different variations in there that you can go through and all of those things. So it takes a little bit of courage and certainly education to be able to do that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, I remember we were the day before Christmas, dinner, and we got a call from our bank saying, oh, no, the loan hasn't been approved. And we were obviously ropeable at that stage. We were just thinking, oh, my goodness, we need this to come through so then we can start construction, obviously, in the new year. And Paul, I guess, put on a reasonably good conversation with our bank manager, and they said, oh, we'll give you a buzz back. And so they ended up calling back later that afternoon and said, all right, we'll fund it. So we were just, oh, my gosh. It was all about solution-based for us. You know, if there was that no that came back, it was how do we get that outcome? How are we gonna fund it? So yeah, we were just pushing as much as we possibly could and trying to seek different avenues that we could seek in order to get that funding.
Yeah. I think there's a lesson in that as well, that you don't necessarily take no for an answer. Just because, you get one result doesn't mean that you're going to get the same result if you take another tact. So, good on you for standing up and saying, okay, well, what else can we do? How can we do this? What can you make happen to pull some strings to get this through over the line?
Yeah.
I think we were also inspired. It was probably about a month prior, we attended one of the events, and it was one of Brad Cassidy's early days up on stage, and he actually said, don't take no for an answer, find another solution.
Yep.
And that inspired us to, when the bank's ringing us, day before Christmas and saying, sorry, we're not going to fund it. We were already thinking, all right, well, another bank will. So. Yep. so it just opened up our minds to think differently.
Yeah, that's right. Did you say that to the bank manager? Well, if you don't, another bank will.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Good on you.
They don't like that confrontation, I don't think.
Banks are money shops. You choose where you buy your money.
Correct.
This is true.
Okay, so the subdivision, obviously there was the lead up through with councils and whatever else. And then the subdivision came through. You got the loan now revalued because of the uplift that you've made through that subdivision. And then that gave you the equity then to be able to build, yes, and renovate.
That's correct.
That's correct. We had, at that stage, we had literally next to none, or just before that, sort of very little amount of cash flow and very little amount of equity. So it was the best thing that we could have had in that situation was getting that subdivision through, so then we could obviously then fund and the next stage, which was the construction.
Mm.
Yeah, paying our mortgage, and but also at the same time obviously putting any spare cash into our planning application and so forth.
That's right. So you cash funded that.
Absolutely.
So the build at the back was really with the intention for you to have the back one as your PPR.
Yes, correct.
That's correct. But we only learnt that through your program. If, although that said, I'm sure once it was built, we would have much preferred living in a new house than an old one. But that said, you know, we definitely didn't know the whole side of capital gains and all that sort of thing. So, obviously having that education allowed us to make the right decisions and better decisions. So we definitely got some a nice amount of cash on this one, so that's good.
And then you were able to renovate the front house.
Yes. So we looked at the market, didn't know where we were, and we sort of identified where we're going to get our best, I guess, bang for buck. And obviously, you know, we've taken on board your education around 9% for a cosmetic renovation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were really sort of looking in terms of, you know, where do we get our best bang for buck? We looked at obviously painting. We looked at doing touch-ups around the bathrooms. We really focused on what the market wanted in our area.
Mm. Did you extend it all? Did you build decks or anything like that?
We tidied up the deck out the back because obviously the subdivision, obviously you split the land in half. So we wanted to at least make it appealing, I guess, to new owners. So we made a quite nice sort of deck. But again, we used treated pine. We didn't, go out and spend on Merbu or something like that as well. We were smart with our choice in terms of materials as well.
Well, that's where you make your money on the materials more than the trades.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's great. So tell me the figures. How did it pan out for you when you subdivided, you built a new house on the back and ultimately sold the front house? What was the total uplift?
Okay, so we purchased our PPR for $448,000.
Mm-hmm.
We spent probably about $25,000-ish on renovating. And once we'd done that, we did all of the application for the subdivision. So that was...
We spent about $35,000 on the subdivision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then built the back property. So that was a total cost of $345,000. In the end, we sold the front property. Obviously upon completion of the construction, and that sold for $621,000. Now, my prediction on that one was I'd actually written my goals that week.
Absolutely.
And I said to Paul, and wrote in my goals, that it's going to be on the market for anywhere between 10 to 20 days and that we'd get a sale price of a minimum of $620,000. Sure enough, it was on the market for 13 days. And we got an abundance of offers that came through and obviously hit over that price point. So we ended up getting about 48%
return on costs.
Yeah, so we ended up getting, it was about $424,000 in terms of return profit.
Yep.
That's not too bad, is it?
Oh, we're pretty happy with that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's next for you guys?
Why do you say that?
we've just found a new project, so we're moving on to our next deal at the moment. Again, through your education, we've purchased the same suburb. We know the area well. However, our focus was looking at the zoning in terms of allowing us to obviously put multiple dwellings. So we've got a 4-lot subdivision on at the moment. The benefit has been we've negotiated early access, and we actually don't settle until August next year. However, we've already got our application is about to go into council pre-Christmas. So
Excellent. It's
all going well. Yeah.
Just a little tip here. Before you knock that house down, first of all, when was that house that you've just bought built?
Oh, good question. I'd probably say 60s built.
Mm.
60s, okay. Do you think it's had any modifications done on it post-1985?
I don't believe so. Not when I walked through it, didn't I?
Okay. Yep. All right, because if it had, you should be getting a quantity surveyor's report before you knock it down, because then you can claim any unclaimed depreciation on it in full in that year. It could be worth tens of thousands of dollars to you if you do.
Yeah, I'll be...
That's been noted. Yes.
So anything built after 1985, or if it's had an extension or new kitchen, new bathroom, or anything like that done to it since 1985, it's well worth getting that quantity surveyor's report before you knock it down.
All right. I'll be jotting that right down now.
Good-o. I did a little thing the other day in front of a few people where there was a house that was built in 1996 for $150,000, and the plan was to knock it down completely and rebuild a duplex or something or other on it. I said, look, let's just do the figures on this, and it worked out nicely because 2016 is like 20 years, so at 100 and, you can claim 2.5% on the building itself, the cost of the building. Okay. So if you work that out, that's roughly 40 years. So 20 years is already gone, which means there's $75,000 worth of unclaimed depreciation on that house. And they were just going to bulldoze it anyway. So, you know, you claim that $75,000 in full in that year, it worked out, depending on their tax rate, anywhere between $22,000 to $35,000, I think it was, in tax money back to them in their pockets, that they would have just missed out on if they didn't know that rule.
Well, I'm glad we lost it. Yeah, next year.
So you might be doing one.
Absolutely.
The thing is, the thing is, if you don't claim it, like, nobody gets it. The tax office gets it. Nobody gets it at all. So it's just one of those ridiculous things. And, you know, that's the beauty of education. There are so many things that you don't know what you don't know till you know what you didn't know.
Yep.
So on this next deal, what's the expected profit on that?
So the expected profit is 20%, and that being $375,000.
So, 375, did you say?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That'll be a nice little income earner for you. So,
yes, absolutely.
So obviously you're building big chunks of equity there, which is fantastic. There'll probably be a point in time, though, Shakira, I would imagine, when you want children.
This is true, yes.
So,
oh, looking at me like, oh, gosh.
Got a fun construction, did that.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, at a point in time, you'll need to be looking at keeping some for cash flow to replace Shakira's income is what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, while you started off with very little, so the first thing is you've got to build equity, which you're doing, which is fantastic. But there'll be a point in time where you go, yeah, let's just do a cash deal and build something or create something that is positively geared that'll help start to replace Shakira's income for baby time.
Yeah, that's right. And we're working
already.
We're working with obviously Mick Timmons and obviously Investor Accounting Network as well in terms of
fantastic
our exit strategies in this new deal, because you're right, Tim, we may look to actually retain one and sell three. So
well, you're in good hands. They'll certainly do all the figures for you and work out the way to go there, because, you know, you need to be thinking ahead. You need to be thinking a couple of years down the track, you know, building up that passive income so that when you're ready, you've got the income. You don't, you're not forced to have to do anything if you don't want to. You don't have to go back when your baby's 6 weeks old I had to when I had the two littlies when I was single mum.
Yeah. Mm. And that's what we really want out of this whole property side of things. For us, it's about being able to choose what we want to do with our time. So, and at the moment, that's basically what we're building. Our property portfolio, our little empire is what we like to call it. So.
Well, very good. As I said, you're in safe hands there with the guys you're working with. So fantastic.
Yes.
So you built some nice equity there. You've got, you obviously gone from a crappy old house to living in a very nice house, and with the lower mortgage because of the money that you've actually made on doing the actual deal, and you got another one up the line.
Yes, yes, and I actually, funnily enough, didn't I? And I said it at the last conference. We received your letter that we wrote to our setup obviously 12 months ago. At Millionaire Within. And
you're not supposed to tell the secrets.
come on, out with it now.
I was too eager, so I had to open it up early. And I ticked off three quarters of the page, and then I said to myself, well, wait a minute, I've still got another month. And it said, you'll find your next deal. And we hadn't even settled, obviously, on the front property. Yeah. But funnily enough, within that month, we were able to go and tick that one off as well. So it's absolutely just been amazing. So.
Power of the pen.
Yes.
The power of the pen. That's exactly right. Write down those goals, everybody. You'll be remarkably surprised just how powerful that can be. And that's why I make you write those letters to yourself.
Yeah.
And, we're quite diligent with writing our weekly goals as well, and we obviously did our peg in the sand, and we've got our vision board that hangs in our kitchen, and so we're literally looking at it daily.
Good.
And it's just a continuous reminder for us at what we're striving for. So, we're continuously motivated by what we've put down and what's put in front of us. So,
well, that's fantastic, guys. What would you like to say to other young couples out there thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to get ahead? How am I going to buy a house? How am I going to make things happen?
For me, I think more than anything is get the education first. So I think that's probably the most crucial part that we wish we had have done a lot sooner. And then from there, just go in and go hard, really. I think once you've had that education and you've built that knowledge, it gives you so much confidence in making, reasonably big decisions. So for us, I think that was probably what we wish we had done a lot earlier. However, I think we're in a really good position now. So
yeah, and I think, Dimple, through Shakira and my journey with yourself, now, Shakira's, I guess, personal growth over this period has just been amazing and inspiring for me to see as well. And, it's the things that you say at your one-day boot camp, make sure you do your pegging in your sand, make sure you're doing your weekly goals. And, for Shakira and I, it actually took us 12 months of the education before we actually did our pegging in the sand and actually do it. But, right now we're doing it on a weekly basis. We're doing our two-year plan at the moment. And it was really about changing our mindset in terms of, giving us, I guess, some self-belief, applying the education, using, obviously, the support of our mentors and actually going out and doing it.
Well, that's fantastic, guys. I mean, in a few short years, which is really all it's been, and one of those, as you say, was really a learning year. You've created $800,000, which to most people is just so out of this world, not possible, but it is possible. You guys have done it.
Yeah, that's right.
We're still shocked by it. As much as we applied, obviously, all the education and we did our due diligence and, you know, we did our visas. Oh, my goodness, we spent so long on, I guess, getting our visa up to scratch. So now it's just a matter of plugging in those numbers and we can get them done pretty darn quickly. So, it's awesome. We just are that excited and we're just looking forward to the next 2 years. And more,
yeah.
And so on.
Well, fantastic, guys. Thanks so much for coming on the call. And, I know you guys are going to be a great inspiration for a lot of young people out there who are thinking, how on earth am I going to make it? So thank you so much, guys. And thanks for everybody listening in. And remember, it doesn't matter where you're starting from. It doesn't matter what debts or lack of money that you may have at this point in time, there is always a starting point for you. So don't give up, stay connected, stay on the education path, because that's what's going to bridge the gap for you. So thank you again, Paul and Shakira, and thank you again to everybody listening.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay, bye for now.